we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
My name is Chris Fluitt. I serve here as lead pastor. I welcome everybody. You are at Redemption Church. I always like to talk to our people online. I know you're all out there. One of you from Fresno, California, wrote in on our text messaging, our anonymous text line, and man, I really enjoyed my conversation with you. Other people have reached out on Facebook. People have called. People have been all over the internet talking to us. God bless you guys. I hope you're going to be blessed by what happens here today. I want you to know Redemption Church is a church in North Dallas in the great city of Plano, Texas. And we wish everyone watching us on the internet was right here with us in the room. To you, though, in the room, you guys are awesome. I love worshiping with you today. I hope you enjoyed that. I got a kick out of it. I loved it. Please get your Bibles and turn to James chapter 2, verse 10, all right? Now, everyone in this room probably has a Bible. If you don't have a book that opens up like this with pages, you have a smartphone. You have something that you could dial up some scripture on. I want you to get used to using your Bible, even if it's an electronic one. We're going to be turning to James chapter 2, verse 10. All right? One simple way to look up scriptures is just go to Google and just type in James 2:10, and it'll bring it right up really quick. We do three things every time we come together. We've already worshiped together. We are about to receive the Word of God together. And last but never least, before today is over, before we walk out of these doors today, we are going to spend some time praying. We're going to spend some time talking to God together. We want everyone to spend some time talking to God.
All right.
I want to tell you real quick, as a preacher, as a minister, it is a failure on my part if I preach a sermon and you don't pray afterwards. It is a failure if I preach a sermon that really captures your attention. You went, wow, I didn't fall asleep in church. That was great. But yet you walked out of the doors without spending one moment talking to God. That is a failed moment, okay? You need to talk to God today, all right? All right? Is that what we're about around here? It is. That's the three things we do. All right, James chapter 2, verse 10. I hope you're there. We're going to look at it. It's also on the screens if you don't have a phone or a book. But here we go. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. Now, we're going to be coming back to that. I want to tell you today that God still talks.
Amen.
God still talks. He talks in ways that we don't usually expect. He will often use physical situations to speak to our spiritual conditions. Have you ever experienced something like that?
Yeah.
Well, that's what this sermon is about. God used a physical experience, a physical situation to speak to me about this church, to speak to me, to speak to me about my family, all about spiritual conditions. Earlier in the summer, Dwight, everybody wave to Dwight. There he is in the green shirt. Dwight walked up to me after a service and said, "You've been hacked. You've been hacked." And I thought, man, was the sermon that bad? I thought it was pretty good. But no, that's not what he was talking about, Marshall. No, the Redemption website had been hacked. All right. That is some really bad stuff, because he let me know there were some inappropriate things that were showing up when you went to the website.
Right.
It really embarrassing, really alarming, and the whole situation was immediately hit a Richter scale of 10 with me. It was immediately the most overwhelming thing I was going to deal with that week. It was like, oh my gosh, we got to do something, and now. Okay, so what do we do? Because I don't know everything about this situation. I immediately started researching how this happened, how to fix it. Google, I was all over Google. I was burning the Google up. I called my hosting company looking for answers. Please don't glaze over, as I mentioned, technical jargon, all right? But they said you need to locate the bad code. You need to locate the bad code. So they ran a scan, and they come up with a list of infected files.
All right.
The list was long. The list was long. It was about this long. It was about this long. It was like, whoa, keep scrolling, keep scrolling, keep scrolling again. You might want to push the page down button on your keyboard to save some time. It was pretty long, just this list of file after file. Every line of the page represented one file, okay? You got to locate the bad code is what they said. Oh, so, okay, all right, we got something to work with here. All right, this is good. So what's next? All right, then you scrub the bad code. You need to go into file after file and begin to clean the bad code. So now you know the bad files. Look into the files. Find what's bad inside the file, because not everything inside the file is bad. You got to find what's bad inside the file. So I said, okay, how do I do that? All right. And they told me, open the first file on the list. So I said, okay, click, click. And that file looked a little bit like this. Now, what am I looking for? I said to the person on the other line. By the way, if you don't know what code is, HTML code, all that code, there's all kinds of code. There's more than HTML involved. But it was code, just letters, numbers, dots, squigglies, symbols, demonic things, all of them. It was drastic, and it was this long, and I was like, okay, none of this makes sense. This is not like reading a manual. This is not like going to Wikipedia and reading. It's like garble, garbled, garbly, gluk, dot, colon, forward slash, parentheses. And by the way, if you mess up anything, that whole page is gone forever. That's how HTML works. Just one little dot is as important as any little thing, all right? The code went on for pages and pages, and somewhere within this code was something bad. And I was clueless as to what it is. And then they told me the worst news. So I'm like, okay, I mean, this is possible, right? I mean, people do this. I mean, people survive this. And then they told me this. This is what they told me. They said, you have to get rid of all of it or else. You have to get rid of all of it. Every bad piece of code on every bad file. Okay, so not only do I have to fix this guy, which I had no clue of, but I had to fix this many more of those guys. You seeing the daunting task in front of me? All right, that'll send you praying really quick. That's the worst news. If I cleaned all the code but missed one instance of the code, it would all come back. Can we get an amen on this statement? Hackers are evil, yo. Hackers, they be evil. All right, so that sent my head spinning. Has it already, like, sent your head spinning? Aren't you glad? And everybody wants to be a pastor. All right, I spent hours trying to figure this out. By the way, remind you, there's, like, pornography all over the front page of our website. This is really bad and awful, okay? Very disturbing. I spent hours trying to figure out where the bad code was on that first single file. I spent hours. I looked at it. I read it again. It made no sense. I was unsure I ever really found anything. I kept calling back and saying, did I find it? Is that it? And they're like, we're not sure. And I'm like, gah, that doesn't help. It became painfully obvious to me that I could not clean all this bad code on my own. I needed help. So what I do? I called on someone who knew the code and could clean it. We hired out. We reached down. We paid a few dollars. I gained some of my sanity back. We hired a professional company to scan through all these files to locate the malicious code and to scrub it and to get all that gross stuff off of our website. I got off the phone with this company, knowing that they would look at the website and they would try to save it. And I sat down and I started to pray. God, Lord, let them be able to fix this website. Lord, this is just all so much for me. God, I want you to. And right then, I felt the Lord speak to me. And the Lord said this.
The Lord said, let me talk to you about your code. That's what the Lord said. You see, sin is a lot like bad code that finds its way into your life and it messes up everything. Sin finds a way into your life and it's embarrassing and it's alarming and it is overwhelming. Mankind has been hacked by sin ever since that time in the Garden of Eden. We have been trying to fix ourselves ever since. People are still writing books on how to fix yourself. Self-help novels, self-help books. And people are giving big talks and big conferences on how to fix your life. We're still to this day trying to fix the damage that happened in Genesis chapter 2. We were given the law of Moses. That's the word of God. We were given the Ten Commandments, right? We were given prophets. We were given miracles. We were even given Jesus Christ. But we have never been able to solve our own code problem. Never. Never. Not once. What was the first thing they told me to do? They told me to locate the bad code. Now, when you talk about sin, your mind might be racing ahead and you might have some thoughts that come to your mind about your sin and about the sin of other people and what's a really bad sin. You might say that these are your struggle areas that you think of. You may say that they're not big deal sins, like those exist, right? Yeah, they're sins, but you know, they aren't big deals like other people that are struggling with other sins, right? The truth is that none of us have ever been able to scan ourselves and locate our broken code. We've not been able to do it. Do not be deceived and think you have. We all have more sin problems than we're actually aware of. And that's true of everyone. The guy talking to you right now, we all have more sin problems than we are even aware of. More problems than we can count. Let's look at some scripture together. Jeremiah 17:9. This comes close to home right here. The heart. Who has a heart in this place? Anyone has a heart? Everyone but Vicky Rose raised her hand. We all knew it. The heart is deceitful and above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? This hits so close to home, right? The Bible just said your heart is deceitful. It lies above everything else and beyond cure. And who can even understand it? Romans chapter 7, verse 18. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. He says, I know that nothing good lives in me. Now hold on. This is the Apostle Paul. This is the guy who wrote more than half of the New Testament. This is the guy who gave his life for Jesus. He told countless others about Jesus. He was just the model Christian. When we think about model Christians, man, if we could just be like the Apostle Paul. He says, I read it again, I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. Locate the bad code. By these two verses, it sounds like it's everywhere. It sounds more than just a behavioral problem. It's your sinful nature. It's your heart. It's something that you can't cure. Heavy stuff right here. Heavy stuff. We need to locate our sin, but we can't. Sure, you might know some things that you're doing are wrong, but you cannot locate every single thing that you are doing wrong. You can't do it. You can't. We're going to need some help. Can I tell you, that's what the Pharisees' problem was. They thought they knew where all their miscues were. And Jesus walks right up to them and says, no, you don't just have those miscues. You also have these miscues. And you have these and these and these. And they're like, let's stone this guy already. We're going to need some help. So who do we turn to? Psalm 139, verse 23 through 24. Search me, O God. and know my, somebody say it. Say it out loud, big. And know my heart. Test me. Gosh, I don't like being tested. I didn't like being tested in grade school, high school, college. I definitely don't like being tested by God, but here it is. God, know my heart and test me. And know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I want to tell you that people look on the outward. That's why you can fool some people, right? Because they're just looking on the outside. You can put up a good show. Churches all over America were filled with people that came and they put on a really good appearance. But when time came in that service for them to make a move towards God, they let sin keep them from it. They let pride keep them from it. And they remained in the exact same place. And everybody went, wow, that's just a model Christian. But there is an offensive way in us. There is an incurable wrongness in our heart. There is a sinful nature inside of us that there is nothing good. People look on the outward appearance, but where does God look? He looks on the, everyone say it out loud. He looks on the heart. You see, I found the person that can scan us. I found the person that can scan us, and he can see every offensive way in us. He can find everything that's wrong. And not only that, but I had a promise that he could lead us into a everlasting way. All right. You see, we need him to locate the bad code. But also, we must scrub the bad code. There are things we know are sin and we need to stop doing them. We could just spend some time there. There are some things we know are wrong. Okay? You don't need an angel to come down and tell you. You see it plain in the Word of God. You don't need your pastor to come hold your hand and tell you it's wrong. You actually feel it in your heart when you're doing it. There are some things we know that are sin and we need to stop doing them. No more. We need to repent. What does that mean? That means you need to turn away from your sin. If you are turned away from your sin, you can no longer see your sin. If you're turned away from your sin, you're only looking at one thing. You are looking at Jesus Christ. And now he's all you can see. We need to know what the Word of God says, and we need to try our very best to abstain from sinful works. Can I get an amen? Is that true? That's what we need to do. Amen. But hold the phone, because that is not enough. Not enough. Go ahead and read your Bible. Please do read your Bible and find where those sins are. Yeah, go ahead, but I'm going to tell you it's not enough, because you are not able to save yourself from your own sin. You're not able to scrub your own sin. You're able to change some of your habits. But changing your habits and scrubbing your sin, that's completely different. You are not able to remove the code on your own. You could memorize every one of the 613 laws. Everyone said 613. You could memorize every single one of them. There are people that have done it. It's not impossible to memorize every single one of them. Every Pharisee had every one of these 613 laws memorized. They absolutely did. You can try to memorize them and then try to live by them. But can I tell you, Jesus looked them right in the eye and said, that's not enough. It's not enough. You need to scrub the bad code. You can't allow the bad code. The bad code's not just your behavior. The bad code is your heart. The bad code's not just the stuff you've done. The bad code is your sinful nature. Am I in the book? Is this the truth? But also, you have to get rid of it. You have to get rid of all of it. Or else. Or else what? Or else it comes back. Let's look again at James 2:10. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at one point is guilty of breaking all of it. It's a heavy verse. Because we are trying our best to keep the law. Is there something? We're trying our best to follow God's commands. We're trying our best to listen to the Word of God. Amen? That's what we're trying to do. You're listening. You came to church today. You're like, man, I want to hear the word of God, and I'm going to try to do it. Absolutely. But guess what? If you're guilty in one point, you're guilty of all of it. If you stumble in one point, I want you to understand how bad sin is. You need to understand how bad sin is. One sin messes up everything. Everything is messed up by one sin. Don't ever, you know, just placate sin. Oh, you know, it's, you know, I'm sure I'm a sinner, but grace is so big. Yeah, we'll talk about grace. Absolutely love grace. Thank God for grace. It's amazing. Grace, how sweet the sound. But you stop for a second. Don't you let a message on grace lead you to believe that sin is no big deal. It absolutely messes everything up. One sin brought the fall of all mankind. It said through one man, sin entered the world. And by the world, that means every one of us. That was one sin that did that. What sin was it? Eating a piece of fruit he wasn't supposed to eat. Oh, what a silly little sin. No, it's not silly at all. It brought about rape. It brought about disease. It brought about war. Every evil atrocity you can think of came. The root of it was one single sin. Don't you dare ever think that sin is no big deal. Sin's a big deal. And one stumble in the law means you are guilty of every kind of sin. You're guilty of breaking all of it. If you're trying to clean yourself up, then that's some bad news. If you're trying to fix your life on your own, if you're trying to locate your code, scrub your code, that's some bad news. All the time working in ministry, Marshall, all the time working in ministry, church, we run into people that say, man, if I can just get these things under wrap, then I'll come to church. If I can just, you know, get off drugs, then I'll see you at church. My goodness, please wake up. You cannot clean this on your own. You cannot clean it on your own. You can't do it. My goodness, you realize if we could clean it on our own, we would not need God. If we could clean it on our own, we would not need the Lord. If we could clean it on our own, we wouldn't need a cross of Calvary. You cannot clean it on your own. If you're trying to save yourself by your good deeds, I want to tell you that's some bad news, isn't it? That is some terrible news. Wait a second, but I was doing all these things hoping that it would somehow tilt the scale. Like, here's my scale of sin, but, you know, I fed a homeless guy, and, you know, I held the door open for someone. Isn't that kind of evening it out? No, it doesn't. You're guilty on all points. You need help. Not just locating your sin, but you need help scrubbing your sin. You need someone that will remove all your sin and no longer hold it against you. Knock, knock, knock. Even the sin you aren't aware of. I'm telling you, church, good Christian Chris Fluitt, he has problems he's not even aware of. He's got pride he's not aware of. I get up from an altar with problems I'm not aware of. Evil things in my heart. Evil things in my sinful nature that are incurable. There is someone that can help. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us, somebody say it, from all sin. Acts 22, verse 16, Ananias looked Paul in the eye and he said, and now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins. Wash your sins all away, calling on his name. Somebody tell me what his name is. His name is Jesus. Isaiah, this is the Old Testament. This is Old Testament prophecy of what you can receive right now. Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though your sins are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. what is completely stained, the Lord of glory will take and he will make it white as snow. What is completely stained, it can never be white again. He will make it white like the wool. That's what he'll do. Can somebody say these words with me? Jesus, we need your help. Jesus, we need your help to find our problems. Jesus, we need your help to scrub our problems. And God, we need you to remove it all. We need you to take it all. You see, we are hacked. That's who we are. We're hacked people. Humanity is hacked people. Christians are just as hacked as any person in society you can point to. I cannot stand seeing Christians holding signs to another group of people that says, God hates you and we don't like you either and you're a no good sinner. Because the truth is that we are just as hacked as they are. We are just as in need of saving as they are. Every time, it's the truth. I believe it with all my heart. I would love the world to know that we feel that way at Redemption Church. You see, a clever hacker found an opening. He found a portal. He found his way inside. And they inserted a code, and it was placed there probably months before it showed up as something awful. You see, hackers, they are so crafty, and they are so devious. They placed that code, and they didn't let it go to work immediately where it was visible. Oh, no, because if you knew that, you could find it quickly and disarm it and get rid of it. No, they let it sit there and start replicating itself. And start copying itself. And start, now it started at one place, but now it's found its way over here. And now it's in this file. And now it's a whole laundry list of files. And then it starts to go to work. And this virus that we were dealing with, this malicious malware, was really tricky. Pamela, you know what it'd do? Here's what it would do. You would go to the website and you would see the awful thing. Bam. And you go, what? And you stop it. And you go, what's wrong with the website? Let's try it again. And you go back and the website would look perfect. And you go, maybe I really spelled something wrong. What's going on? They found a way that they found your IP address, and the moment you see it one time, it sends a code. It sends a communication that says, don't show that to them anymore. Why did they do that? Because now what is infected now is hidden. And when it's hidden, somebody goes, oh, there really wasn't anything there. Is sin a lot like that? Man, I tell you what, every sinner wants to hide. Every person that has fallen into sin, they want to hide their sin. What in the world was the first thing that Adam and Eve did after they ate the fruit? They hid from God. That is always what we do. We try to hide our sin. Man, it is so tricky. That code propagated and it grew until it was completely out of code. Do we see that in the... It was completely out of control. Do we see that in the Bible? Do we see that sin grew so much from Adam and Eve to a place where God had to tell Noah, you build an ark. We got to wipe this earth clean. Is that what we see? I want to tell you that sin lies dormant and it causes problems later. Cain had no idea that the resentment and anger he felt was a sin and that it would lead later to murder. Samson had no idea that his rebellion and his lust would lead to his capture later and his torture later. King Saul did not understand that his disobedience would cost him so much later. It ended up costing him his crown, it cost him his family, and yes, it cost him his life. Ananias and Sapphira in the New Testament, they had no clue that a lie would be lying to the Holy Spirit, and it would leave them lying on the ground dead. King David did not think that his lust for Bathsheba would bring him so far. It brought him to kill an innocent man and to end up mourning an innocent child's death. Sin can actually be enjoyable, but only for a little while. Hebrews 11:25 talks about the pleasures of sin that last only but a season. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The sin that we are harboring, the sin that we are hiding, the sin that we might know about, might not know about, but we definitely don't want everybody else to know about. Guess what? It's going to cause you problems later. It might be fun right now, but it's going to cause you problems later. I wish we could get some drug addicts up here to testify. I wish some people that fell into an adulterous relationship and it cost them their marriage could walk up here and grab this mic right now and tell you, do not mess around with sin. Don't you dare do it. We are hacked. We need someone that knows the code better than us. Does Jesus know the code?
Yes, he does.
He is the very word of God.
Amen.
He came and he fulfilled the code. He said, I've not come to do away with the law, but I've come to fulfill the law. That is the code. The code is fulfilled by him. Here is what Jesus does with our broken code. You want to know what he does with the broken code? Here it is. It's in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Look at this. Having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it to the cross. Colossians 2, 14. Look at that. Having canceled, everyone said, the written code with its regulations that was against us and that stood opposed to us, he took it away, nailing it. Where did he nail it?
To the cross.
You see, you thought his hands were nailed to the cross. You thought his feet were nailed to the cross. No, he took your sins. He took your code. He took all that's broken inside of you. If you're guilty in one aspect of the law, you're guilty in all of it. He lumped it all together. He took it all together and he himself nailed it to the cross, says the apostle. He takes all of our rule breaking. He takes all of our lust. He takes all of our greed. He takes all of our pride. He takes all of our hate. He takes all of our lies. He takes all of our hypocrisy, on and on. He takes it all and he nails it to his cross. Do you want Jesus to take your sin today? You see, if you let Jesus take your sin, that means you have to surrender it to him. If you let Jesus take your sin, that means you have to stop saving yourself from your sin. That means you have to stop going around like you're Miss Polly Perfect. You want to trust Jesus. You want to try Jesus. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you want to get rid of your sin today? We're about to open up these altars for a time of prayer. God, you always have permission to talk to me about my sin. God, you always have permission to talk to me about my code. Before I open these altars, I want to underline something to you. I want to reiterate it to you. The sin that you're dealing with today might not show up so disastrously today, but one day it will show up so disastrously you can't stop it. Today is the day of salvation. Get rid of it today. Could we just have one big repentance time in this church? These altars are open. If you know how we normally do things out here, you just come on. You just find a place to pray. For everyone else, I want to explain to you that we come to the altar. We challenge everyone to make their way to this altar and pray. If you don't want to do that, that's okay. If you feel more comfortable praying where you are, you go ahead and do that. But I want to challenge you today. You come to the altar and you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sin. Is anybody going to mess with me down here? No. If you want special prayer, you come in the first 2 feet. That lets us know you want us to pray with you. All right? You come up here. We also have communion over here if you want to serve yourself communion. If you want to thank Jesus for his body and his blood. Come on, Redemption Church, we need to talk to God. We need to invite him to take away all of our broken code. We need to ask him to search us on the inside. We need to admit again that we are sinners in need of the saving grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. You come on, you start begin to pray. I'm going to pray over you right now. Father, I thank you for all that you are doing right now in our hearts. God, I thank you that you've never given up on us, Lord. I thank you that while we were yet sinners, you died for us and that you showed your love for us on the cross. Lord, in Jesus' name, I want people, Lord, to walk away from their shackles today. I want them to walk away from the brokenness inside of their hearts. God, we surrender it all to you right now. In Jesus' name, let no one be ashamed. Let them call on the name of Jesus. Let no one be worried about what other people think, because we are all yet sinners falling short of the glory of God. In the name of Jesus, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's pray. Let's talk to him. Do not walk out of here without talking to the Lord.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.